Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us both on the radio side of our program through WYAD 94.1 FM, as well as through our online friends at blogtalkradio.com, at 106liveradio.com in Atlanta, and in D.C. at dcnowradio.com. Brad Hewitt is making his first appearance on our program today. He has co-written a book that I really have found fascinating. I'm so excited to share with all of you today. It's called Your New Money Mindset, Create a Healthy Relationship with Money. And I'm sure that a lot of you are beginning a new year. You've already started thinking about ways that you can be more sensible when it comes to money and make better decisions. I think you will appreciate, though, what Brad and also the co-author James does in this book, not only helping us to realize the importance of being aware, but also realizing why we do what we do, whether it's hoarding, whether it's being able to spend or splurge, or how we use our time and resources. They've really been able to show us, I think, in a way that all of us can relate to, how we can be better stewards of our time and also our resources. We'll talk to Brad not only about how the book came about, but also what he and James hope you're able to take away from it. Brad, hello to you, and welcome to the program.
Well, hello. It's great to be here.
Hey, the pleasure is definitely all mine, Brad. I was sharing with you before we went on here that I really enjoyed the book for myself, and I believe that for our radio audience as well as our online audience, that they will really appreciate it as well. I mean, first of all, what has it been like for you already, Brad, to be able to hear from readers not only how the tips that you've been able to share have really resonated with them, but how the scriptures that you share also help to kind of reinforce for them how they can look at things differently?
Well, I got an email yesterday from somebody who had read the book and said that they had actually tried to put the principles into practice. And interestingly enough, what they said is they were going to do something. They had received a small inheritance from their parents, and they were going to do one thing with it. And instead, what they actually did is they put it into something where she really felt called to do and was reporting back. Basically, it made all the difference in the world. And so when you hear ways where we can actually help people be wise with money and live generously, it makes my heart really happy.
Exactly. And I love the fact that you said that, you know, to be wise and also be generous, because the two can go hand in hand, and I think it really does go to priorities. One of the big things that you address in the book, and it's in the section Living in Freedom, Brad, that I think is so great, and that is the fear that people have and how, just like some people might do with food, other people use money as a security blanket. They think if they have more, it's going to make them, you know, more invincible. But as you share in that chapter, it definitely does not help you when you have a spouse that leaves or when you get a dreaded phone call or bad news. I mean, how has that perspective helped you in life to really put things, you know, in their place?
Well, you know, what's really interesting is we've looked at this. There's a bunch of research and other things that we found and we put in the book, but there's also what I would describe as kind of biblical truths that match up with the research. And basically what we keep finding over and over again, that building a healthy relationship with money starts with the heart, not with habits, not with the mechanics of it, not even with financial knowledge. Getting that heart relationship right, and that some of that heart relationship is, what are we afraid of? What do we really want? What does success look like? You know, will more actually make me happy? All of those questions.
Right.
And security and fear is one of those. And of course, what happens is people assume that if they just had more, they would be more secure. And it just doesn't work that way.
Right. I think that is it. You know, there is the other thing, and this is what I think is the biggest challenge. And I love the fact how in the book, both your co-author James and yourself allow us, thanks to two parentheses, are able to help us to know who is thinking what at what part of the book and what is going
whose
on.
Whose stories are whose.
Exactly right, right. So it makes it a lot easier for us to be able to figure that out. But I love the fact that, you know, one of the things that we have to do, especially as people of faith, is that what we say has to match up with what we do. And I bring this up because I think, you know, we say that we rely on God, that we follow Jesus. But reading a book like this, you end up thinking, okay, I still have some work to do because I am not doing what I say I'm doing when it comes to finances. Is that one of the things that you're hearing from people, that when it comes to this issue, it's one of those things that they don't always follow what is there for them to follow?
Absolutely. And you know, first of all, one of the things when Jim and I decided to write this book, it was really interesting because, you know, we both realize we're stingy. We both realize that we fail all the time and continue to fail. Everybody just gets bombarded with consumeristic and materialistic messages. So we wanted to actually start with a grace-filled call to starting life, you know, today and every day. And that, you know, every day, it's kind of cliche, but every day is new, when, especially when it comes to money. And it doesn't mean we don't have the consequences from our behaviors, but I think claiming that, you know, today is different is really important. And that's what some of the stories are in the book. You know, we kind of talk about some of our failings with money and our misunderstandings. And sometimes they're funny and sometimes they're not so funny.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? They end up being a great lesson for us as we're reading about it, right? I mean, because, you know, I think because you're willing to share it, you know, I mentioned that chapter, Living in Freedom, and the talk of fear. And you have a scripture that a lot of us have read and probably in many ways can quote. But I love this translation that is in the book. For those who have the print edition, it's on pages 76 and 77. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 25. And there Jesus says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." I love that translation because I think that is so true. You know, life is about more than what we're going to have for dinner, which is one of the questions I think all of us ask even at breakfast time. Well, what are we going to have for dinner? I mean, you know, or what we're going to wear, you know, next week, you know, picking out our wardrobe. You know, I think that idea, though, is so important when it comes to finances, because it really allows us to know what really is important. And part of it, Brad, and you address this in the book, is how we have allowed what the world looks at as being enough to affect us. And also what we think about because of what we hear and what we see, we think, okay, well, this is when I'll be happy. I love this statistic in the book, and I can't remember exactly where it's from, but you address the fact that even people who may make a certain amount of money a year, $75,000 was the number, I remember that part, you know, that they don't, even that wasn't, you know, going to make them happy. I mean, you know, what was that like for you to look at, that even though people may have what they say they want or need, it still doesn't fill that space for them?
Yeah, in fact, so that was actually, and it's true actually in all cultures around the world. It's basically, if you're a little bit above average, you've gotten all the happiness you're ever going to get out of money and having money, which was just shocking to us. And what was also shocking to us, there's another study in the book that we point to, and this gets at the opposite, is there was another study where people had millions. I think the average was $78 million or $76 million. And they thought they needed 25% more in order to be happy too. And so you have this really interesting kind of, if I just had more, I'd be happy, I'd be secure, I'd be able to get that financial independence that I've always wanted. And yet, it's a money is a master that actually never satisfies. And I think why Jesus was, when he was talking about don't worry about all those things, he was talking to people who didn't have much. So it's easy to worry. But if you think money is going to solve it, what the research shows is it doesn't. And it doesn't give you security. It actually does make you independent in a bad way. You become disconnected from your friends and other things. More doesn't make you happier, etc. When we kept coming back to that and seeing that over and over again, frankly, it was shocking to us. And what compelled us in some ways to write the book is it was, and it's not new research either. It's been, we're just hard to practice.
Right. And I think that's it. And again, you know, it's because, I guess, you know, I said earlier, because of the world we live in, but also how a part of it becomes a part of us. And I think,
right.
you know, that mindset, we're going to talk more about that here in a moment when it comes to success, you know, and how that's one of the things we've really been drilling on this year here on the program about, you know, how do you view it and how is it defined? I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking today with Brett Hewitt. He's the co-author of the book, Your New Money Mindset, Create a Healthy Relationship with Money. How many of us cannot benefit from guidance like that? And the guidelines come from a place that all of us should trust, and that being God's Word, the Bible. You know, I think, Brett, I want to go back to, you mentioned how the book came about. I mean, what was it like for you to know? Because we've all heard, again, this is nothing we've all heard, that the Bible gives us everything we need to be able to live the life we need to live or supposed to live. What was it like for you to know that finances was one of those things? Because it's not obviously one of the things most people think about when they think about the Bible.
Yeah, and in fact, passages that actually was the other part of really inspiring us to write the book is Proverbs 11:24, and it's the world of the generous gets bigger and bigger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And I just love that imagery of, you know, when we actually imitate God and be generous, our worlds get bigger, and when we actually believe the lies of the world that we should hold on to it and we kind of close our fists around stuff and be stingy, that somehow by doing that we're going to actually be more successful. What we find out is our world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And like I said, Jim and I are both kind of stingy people and trying to work through that and to try to get the freedom to actually live generously and to be joyful about it and to be wise, but also to be wise with money. And those two things go hand in hand.
Yeah. It's funny, and you and I had not discussed this, but it's interesting that you shared that proverb now, because one of the things I was going to talk about a little later, and we can go ahead and talk about it, is the chapter Change the World, and that's where you
yep.
actually address that proverb in the book. And I want to read a part of that. It's so interesting that you quoted that, because but the part of that I wanted to share is on page 214, again, for those who have the print edition of the book, you'll find what Brad just shared there. But also they include these questions. God comes to us with a gift. Will we receive it with open hearts and minds, or will we deflect his generosity with a less than enthusiastic response? And I think that is the thing. I think, you know, a lot of times we accept what we feel as though is in line with what we want, and then
right.
sometimes when it's not exactly what we want, we don't really do it as enthusiastically as we probably should. And you go on then the course to be able to allow us to know that, you know, there are ways we can start changing things. You know, how important has that been for you, Brad, and even for James, for Jim, to realize that, you know, regardless of where you are, that we can start today to put the priorities where they need to be?
Yeah, and in fact, again, you know, that's so much of you know, any kind of behavior change becomes difficult. And one of the suggestions we have in the book and some very practical things for to do this was to just add more good things. Into your life, and things start to change, and that's true whether it's, you know, managing your money or weight loss or all the things that people probably have done New Year's resolutions around, and that often and Jim's a psychologist and he's been studying a lot of how does the behavior change, and adding good things is actually critical. And interestingly enough, people that have a healthy relationship with money, there's two things that actually you can add, and they're relatively easy to add out a little bit at a time, and those are gratitude and generosity. And simple things like, you know, giving thanks for the food we eat, giving a little bit of time or yourself, or opening up a little bit of generosity of yourself or your time or your money. Those little steps actually help you get going in the right direction.
Exactly. I think that's so true. The last thing I want to talk about, Brad, is a big one, I think, because, again, and parents, I think, do this quite a bit. They instill in children what they believe success looks like, and that then becomes adopted. And sometimes we change it and decide for ourselves what success looks like. But again, most of the time that is based on what other people are doing or what other people say. In the chapter 10, Longing for Success, you address this. And one of the interesting things is that, because again, this is something that all of us do, if we're truly honest. I mean, the whole idea, I mean, you know, I throw that word around, and you know, you begin to wonder, okay, what does that really mean? One of the things that you all have in the book on page 175 is the note, our challenge is to discover the right definition of success. How pivotal has that been for yourself to be able to realize, you know, how you're defining success, what success looks like for you, and where that definition comes from?
Yeah, well, and there's a story in that in there where success, I kind of bought into all the worldly success of, you know, job, money, all of those things, and after traveling and doing a whole bunch of stuff, I came home and my wife was going to go for a weekend and wanted me to watch our kids, and my daughter, who was probably 4 or 5, 6 at the time, you know, said, you know, I'm not comfortable with that, because I hadn't been around. And it was one of those kind of pivotal moments that actually changed my understanding of what success was, is that I thought I was just actually, you know, providing a whole bunch of money and other things was so important. And yet actually being there and doing, being part of the family, obviously was a really important part of success. And what I did is I actually changed jobs, took a huge pay cut, but I wouldn't change that for anything at this point, because success meant more than just having a great job or a great bunch of money. And so, you know, that was, you know, it was one of those kind of aha moments for me, you know, through the mouths of little kids, right? You know,
right.
You get the real insight. But yeah, I mean, that's a specific story, and I tell it in longer in the book. But it was a pivotal thing for me to kind of redefine success.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And, you know, I want to share another thing that you all have in the book, and I appreciate you sharing that, Brad. On page 181 and 182, again, under Longing for Success, this is what the two of you share in the book. Gauging our success by how much we have is an area where we truly need to recalibrate our thinking. Anyone reading this book is probably quite wealthy by any global measure. And I, you know, I think that goes to the whole thing of perspective. You know,
in how
you're able to look at yourself versus how other people look at you. The scripture that you share in the book, and it's one again that a lot of people have read, probably misquoted in some ways. You know, because, you know, I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, heard someone quoting it or thought they were quoting it. I said, well, I don't think that's what, I think you're missing a part in there. But it's the love of money being
love
the
money,
root
yeah.
of all evil. And I think, you know, that is the thing. I think sometimes people, you know, forget the love of part.
Right.
They just say money. Money's just bad. And so, you know,
love goes with the heart. Back that heart-healthy relationship, right? And love is a heart emotion.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that is it. And I think, you know, being aware, you know, and that's the other thing that you all address in that chapter, you know, for yourself, Brad, you know, and, you know, here I'm going to use the word success, but I mean, the book is already an Amazon.com bestseller. I mean, for yourself, what was a win when it comes to your new money mindset? What was your hope that people would get out of it? And does it make you feel as though you achieved that because they seem to be getting that?
Yeah, well, first, you know, I just want to say, you know, Jim and I, you know, all the proceeds go to actually helping others. So that, you know, one of our goals was not to make money on this book. In fact, we're not making any. And the other part was to actually help people. And again, the way we describe it is to be wise with money and live generously. And as we write at the end of the book, we actually believe if people had a heart-healthy relationship with money, a godly relationship with money, it would not only be incredibly valuable for them, but we would change the world. The ability to be generous, not just with money, but time and yourself, and it would fix so many communities where we see challenge right now, and so I mean our real purpose of this was in essence to start a new conversation about money that starts with what it looks like to see people living generously rather than living in fear or living just wanting more.
Right. And I think that is a great thing. And I think, you know, for sure that is being accomplished. I know when I finished the book, for one, I thought, you know, wow, you know, how, you know, what a great way, first of all, to get people to read the Bible. I'm sure some people are looking at this like, wow, this is in the Bible. I wonder what else is in there. I mean, because it really does show that the Bible covers it all, you know. And
yep.
I think, again, to go back to the example of Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we think about what he said about himself and how he was an individual who did not have a great deal, you know, in a material standpoint, but how rich of a life he was able to live in spite of that. And I think it's what a great example that shows us all. And I think, you know, if we really are able to take that in, it definitely does help us quite a bit in changing the way we look at ourselves and look at what's possible for us. Have you found that already, and I'm just curious about this, that people have found it liberating in a sense, that, you know, that they are not having to be confined by what other people view for them? It really is about what God wants for them.
Yeah, well, two things. One is, again, our intent was to actually have this grace-filled, it's about adding good things, not just depriving yourself or trying to use your willpower to fix everything, because that we know. So that's liberating. One is that we think it's a different kind of conversation about money. Second is that what we found is that you can actually have conversations about the one of the things I usually say is, you know, it used to be when I was a kid that, you know, polite dinner conversation didn't include politics or sex or religion or money, and now money seems to be the only one left on the on the don't talk about list. And we need to talk about money. I mean, that part of the reason we included all those scriptures was because the Bible talks a lot about money, and we seem to not want to talk about it. And so it's liberating, frankly, to just be able to talk about it in a way that, you know, isn't threatening. And then lastly is this liberating of, like I shared the story of somebody being able to put it into practice in their life and living, in that case, living their calling and feeling great about that.
Man, what a great thing. And again, I mean, what a great way of being able to get us to talk about those two things together, that being money and also, of course, the Bible's view of it. And also, I think the Bible's, you know, help with it, because I think that's the thing. It goes back to how you start in the beginning of the book in the chapter, Ready. A real change starts within us. We need to remake our hearts in order for new habits fully to take hold. It is often difficult, you write, however, to have an objective view of what goes on inside us. And I think that is the thing. You know, if we're really going to be honest with ourselves, and that's the only thing that we can do is be honest with ourselves, it really will help us in all that we do, and especially when it comes to creating our new money mindset. Again, everyone, Brad Hewitt has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation, Brad. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And there's an assessment at newmoneymindset.com. If you want to see how, a free assessment, don't have to give us any information to see where you are with regard to your relationship with money.
Yeah. And Brad told me before we went on the air, here's something that I definitely want to share with all of you, regardless of how you're joining us, either on the radio side or online, that the ebook version of the book, Your New Money Mindset, is on sale right now through our friends at Amazon.com. You can get it for less than $3. So definitely take advantage of that. Of course, for those who love to have the print edition, that is available there as well. So you can always get that. For you one clickers out there, you all can take advantage of getting the ebook there for only $2.99. So definitely make sure you do that. Brad, again, congratulations to the two of you on the book, and looking forward to the next conversation with you.
Oh, thank you very much, and it's been an honor to be on your show.
Look, I appreciate the time. And we thank your audience for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Brad. Don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. Brad is actually on social media. We've already tagged him there. And so you can go to our page at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. If you'll click on the link there, you can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends from there using the button that you'll find on the left-hand side of of your screen or device. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.